Okay. So this is a long title for my presentation. This is part of my reflection, my studies for a PhD that I'm doing now at the University of Quebec in Montreal in art and creation. So it's partly creation and partly theoretical, and I'm doing maybe I don't think I'm going to say something so new, but I try to find new ways of helping for better perception of what can holography bring to the art milieu, to the understanding of artistic creation in holography. And for this presentation, I want to speak of this so particular visual quality, appearance and disappearance of the image that everybody knows, of course, and compared to the idea, to the question of the perceptual and cognitive processes. So I will do a small insight in the another field that mine, which is cognition, very short. So what could be said is, well, to resume it maybe, we know this important of the importance of the reality co-constitution of phenomenon that always emerges through the act of perception. And from that, I found something interesting reading a little bit about what Francisco Varela developed with his paradigm of inaction, the inactive approach of cognition. So I tried to do a kind of association of idea, or to do a metaphor, maybe, to help in speaking about what's happening when we look and when we appreciate aesthetics of holography. So, first of all, once again, about art holography and perception, something that we know already, but just to remind us that, of course, despite of this half century that has passed since the invention of holography, there is in the artistic and cultural community a kind of major misunderstanding which persists today as to what holograms can contribute on an aesthetic and conceptual level. Too often holography is seen today as, again, as a mere extension of photography, and which is an aesthetic determined by a completely different historical context, I think, in the arts and sciences, and at a time when a fixed point of view and monocular perspective was very sufficient to satisfy our need of veracity and reality. Today, of course, we know reality appears much more complex, as Richard Brooks said very recently in his presentation. But today there are many other forms of artistic expression than holography which are interested in that complexity of the perception of the world. This artistic expression trying to explore sometimes perceptual questions. Sometimes the practices of art try to promote this through interaction and immersion, for instance, the what we call immersive practice of art. In holography, I think we have something which is related to this other, to those other practices of art. And I have no doubt that the aesthetic qualities of holography are among the clearest manifestation of this contemporary complexity or epistemological complexity. It's true that few people, maybe apart from us, but from the artists and the scientists who are directly concerned, have seen holography as an extraordinary means for examining the unstable and transitory nature of our perceptual relationships with reality. That's what I want to insist on. We know it's still often associated with mere illusion, but if it is so, it's because we must we have the task again of profound reflection amongst art specialists, and also to do a kind of education amongst the public We have to do it. It's not done yet completely. So that's why we are all here. I know. Illusion has too much direct connection to a representational position. And this is indeed the starting point with the principle of this disjunction between the world and our knowledge of it. So we have to overpass that. And it's not new, I know. For instance, in 1999 in Leonardo magazines, the German essayist Peter Zeck already wrote an article which, among others, talk about that. He spoke of aesthetic interest towards the phenomenal aspect of light in itself, which will help for understanding better holography aesthetics. So nothing new in this area, but it's important to remind us. And what I see also, this is a kind of approach in holography, which is very close to some artistic position taken in the 70s already by artists like James Turrell, who at that time already paraphrased Marshall McLuhan's assertion, perception is the medium. So, Maybe because we do not completely accept this reality, that this reality might be fleeting. So, this one reason maybe which may help us to understand why holography is so difficult to accept. This is one of the reasons, because there is other reason, of course, for holography acceptance in art milieu. So popular ideas have deep roots, we know that, and we can see it even when artists like, as James Turrell did, a very large hologram that John presented us recently, and which has not been so easily accepted by the art critics. We have to think that maybe there is another way to present holography, of course. Rather than only the 3D photography, we should maybe say something else about the aesthetic value of the perceptual and cognitive nature of the holographic image. Yes, we know holographic image is neither painting nor photography. It's not exactly a retinal persistence effect as in cinema, nor does it project images, not exactly. It doesn't use apparatus that imposes a speed at which the images pass before our eyes. So we know also that its process is completely different from 3D cinema. There's not so many people who understand exactly what it is, and many, maybe journalists or just go on to say that some special spectral imagery, for instance, is a hologram. It's not. What we have to understand is that maybe one of the main important aspects of holography is the question of the time. We speak a lot of space, but the time in the holographic image is the time of the observer. So a few people told that already today. I want to insist on it once again. This is a complete temporal identity between the image seen and the act of seeing, which makes the holographic image greatly resembling a simulation of the phenomenon of visual perception itself, much more than it resembles a representation of the outside world, of course. It's indeed the restitution of an optical event, which indeed in our everyday lives remains imperceptible for us, for our senses. We can say that it's the visual recreation of a very special encounter, an encounter we know of the temporal gap produced between two beams of light at the moment of the recording, but this is also the encounter of something else. It's the encounter of our eyes, our gaze, and the light, the emergence of the light. So maybe, yes, we saw already about James Turrell, so I will pass more quickly. The time is the holographic image, is the time of the observer, and this is a temporal dynamic which is brought out from the physical encounter of two light beams, which bring something else, another physical or yes, physical encounter. The co-emergence, what I call the co-emergence of light and our gaze, which can only be experienced by each individual. Beyond the hologram, so the holographic image brings into play one's entire subjective comprehension. So the subjectivity is very important to appreciate aesthetics in holography. We have to think outside the predetermined representational framework. Even if we do figurative imagery, it's not a question of abstraction of figuration. It's just a question of insisting of to focus on the appearing phenomenon rather than on what is seen. The appearing phenomenon, so which brought me to think in the in-between field of artistic display holography and understanding of cognitive processes. And it brought me to speak about this, the co-emergence of light and our gaze, or what Varela has called in some way, and I resume it, of course, the concept of inaction. So the holographically experienced image is thus becoming aware of the human visual process. For this, if I try to understand what is inaction, I refer to a philosophical concept of, in German, Hervorbringen, to make emerge, maybe, making the object of the world emerge and making us conscious of them. This concept appears, we know, in the work of Martin Heidegger and Maurice Merleau-Ponty in philosophy, and has been revisited by the neuroscientist Francisco Varela in his research into cognition. I find that very interesting for us. Varela remarks that whether we are in the face of the real world or of that of images, it's no longer a matter of working with the simple idea of preconceived things, ready to be grasped as is by our vision or our brain. Varela, like Merleau-Ponty, insists on the act of dynamic correlation and the co-constructive effect that is constantly being created between the seer and the seen, or between the thing to be known and the person who knows. So that's very shortly what brought to Varela the idea to the paradigm of inaction, and for him it was to bring out a new approach of cognitive processes. But I try to make a migration of this concept to my area of art practices. So, what is in the US neurosciences? Why do we call that co-emergence or inaction? Well, it is a neologism based on the word inact, and it's a concept which is derived from biology to rethink the definition of cognition in order to introduce to cognition the point of view of human experience and individual temporality. So we are back to the question of subjectivity. He called that also embodied cognition. So, and cognition is an inactive principle applied to vision and is a co-emergence of the world and its image, which, he says, inextricably linked to the history of what is experienced, the same way that a previously inexistent path appears while walking. Or, this is a metaphor, if we want to use another metaphor used by Varela, embodied cognition is a middle path between the egg and the chicken, which, as we know, are correlative and define each other. We know that, indeed, there is not the egg or the chicken which are coming one before the other. So in the world, we are in the world that the world is enacted into us in the same time that the world is outside of us. So understanding the act of seeing through co-emergence is thus a way to formulate a certain vision of the world and, of course, as a result, of our relationship with our knowledge of the world. There, the gaze is always active, in dynamic correlation and even in complete identity with the optical emergence of the image. The image I see before me is the real space in which my body is located, and it emerges in me thanks to both light and my vision interactions. This is what happens in holography, of course. So, speaking like that is a metaphor, I know, but it's not only, in holography, it's not only only an optical or perceptual fact, it's not only a poetically way of saying things. I think that it's a true state of making emerge that is manifested both in the act of perceiving a hologram and in theoretical reflection on what perceiving an image is. And for me, this is one of my older piece with the pseudoscopic and otoscopic images on the sculpture. For me, that this question of the co-emergence between light and our gaze is one of the strongest aesthetic specificity of holography. And I try to use the idea of enactment, of inaction, so the enactment of light, image, and gaze, as I said, as a strong metaphor for understanding this. On the level of pure aesthetic value, the holographic visual experience, in a certain way, conforms optically and aesthetically, partially, to what Marcel Duchamp described a century ago with his famous phrase, "The viewer completes the work of art." Of course, it's not only that, I know, and in some way, we can keep in mind that it's a general trend in contemporary art in various that we find in various artistic practices that are using installation and new media interaction, for instance. But in all of these practices, we find an effort to make us experience the impression that we are in the world to be shared. We are in a world to be shared, and not only to be represented. And in a way, in front of holograms, mainly large format holograms, of course, we share a world, we share a space, we share, and even if it's a figuration, even if it's not abstract, it's not only a question of representation. So in my point of view, the appearance and disappearance of the holographic image is even more emblematic than many artworks in interactive digital media for this question of dynamic of cognitive processes, because the way in which it is formally manifested is as phenomenal as the pure light, and thus it is closer to the visual cognitive process that we use normally. So there is no doubt that when we tend to forget that every image which is located at the back of retina is on the threshold of appearance and disappearance, holography indeed openly reminds us of this. It reminds us of some certain precarity of what we see, of what we think is the reality of the world. It's true that its evanescence, the evanescence of holographic image, tells us quite directly that the visibility of things is always vacillating, appearing and disappearing. It is thus a medium that reveals the entire importance of our subjectivity and mental processes for constructing the image and making it emerge. And this is, in a certain way, our human dimension as perceptual and knowing beings. So through the holographic perceptual experience, the physical and psychological qualities of light intermingle to make emerge in us the submerged part of our cognitive relation with reality. In that sense, holography never misleads us with respect to the precarious nature of our perception. It's not illusion. And this is done through a processual dynamic of shifting appearance, disappearance of images. Holography is not really a cheating, a way to lie. So, to choose holography as one artistic medium is also a way to adhere to a dynamic ontological posture, which casts in relief the processual dynamic as a postulate of our relationship with the world. The holographic image thus becomes an embodied revelation of the precarious status of any image. Perhaps even Marcel Duchamp would have seen in it the imperceptible dimension of what he called the infra-thin, in-between conceptual category, because it's always ready to invert something or make it disappear. For Duchamp, the idea of infra-thin was what is found at the minimal threshold of perception of the interface of two dimensions and at the boundary between the tangible and the mental. So I just want to finish with a quotation of Marcel Duchamp, which might make us think about a bit more as a visionary artist. "I simply thought of an idea of a projection of an invisible fourth dimension. In other words, that every three-dimensional object which we look at coldly is the projection of some four-dimensional thing which we do not know. So maybe perceptual and cognitive processes might be a fourth dimension or a fifth dimension, indeed another dimension that we may take into account strongly." Thank you.